Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to share a message that I call the honor principle. And today is Father's Day, and we're all well aware of what God's Word has to say about honoring fathers. But I want you to understand the principle of honor so that it becomes a part of your life and you reap the benefits of it. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll begin with verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, what was that promise? It's expressed in the next verse, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. There are things that we do in life that have impact on our health, our well-being, and our longevity. One of those things is understanding the principle of honor. Now, this word honor, what does it mean? It means more than just sending a card or making a phone call. But the word honor, the Greek word timē, literally means to value something as being precious. Or you could think of it this way, to see something or someone as valuable and precious. And so the principle of honor goes more in depth than what many people realize. Okay? And so here we have a commandment from God to esteem. That means to value them highly. Our parents, our father, and our mother. Now, God's design is that a father emulate him and train and raise his children. And so being a father means more than just being a sperm donor. You may be linked to someone biologically. That does not necessarily mean that you have fathered them effectively. You with me? In the article I wrote for the newspaper, I ended with this. Let us honor the fathers who put the time in and did their job as best they could. And let us encourage the others to get busy. You know what I mean? In other words, be a father. Don't just have kids, but be a father. I was fortunate that I had a father. I was fortunate that I had a grandfather who took the time to pour into me and teach me things that I wasn't going to learn any other way. Are you with me? And so it's a lifelong adventure. And nobody does it 100% right. And so don't feel guilty if you didn't do everything you should have done as a father. Hopefully you still have time to get things right. Are you with me? And as a grandfather, you may have raised your kids. I raised mine. You know, I don't know if I should say this or not. But before Valerie and I started seeing each other, you know, I knew I didn't want to spend the rest of my life alone by myself. But one thing I didn't want to do was marry a young woman. Now, most men have that as a fantasy, but I'm like, oh, no. You know why I thought that way? I'm just being honest with you. See, I said, I already raised my kids. I don't want to do that again. Amen? See, the wonderful thing about grandkids is you can have fun with them, love them, pour into them, and when you've had your fill, send them back. Amen. Hey, I put my time in. All right, and there are seasons in life when God graces you to do certain things. Now, what does that mean? There's an anointing to be a great father. Now, I think that anointing stays on you for the rest of your life, but it changes. It changes. I remember when my kids were little. When DJ was a little baby, man, I was in there changing diapers and doing all that good stuff. When Victoria came along, I didn't change as many diapers. I let DJ do it. We did it. Then when Sarah came along, I can't remember changing many, if any, diapers. Why? I had the kids to do it. You with me? And so the role changes. But being a father is a big deal. It's a really big deal. And so we're commanded by the Scripture to honor our fathers, esteem them as being valuable and precious. Now, turn to Proverbs chapter 31. I'm going to show you something. We're talking about the principle of honor. Proverbs chapter 31, very familiar passage of Scripture to all of us, where it talks about the virtuous woman. Y'all remember that? Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. In other words, the worth of a virtuous woman. But I want to show you something in Proverbs 31. Go down to verse 25. It talks about all the things that she does and how she's a blessing to her family and her community. But notice verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come. So here it talks about honor with respect to a virtuous woman. And it tells us that part of her clothing, part of her majesty, is honor. You can think of it like this. Without honor, she's not clothed properly. And so there's a difference between honor, that is esteeming someone as valuable and precious, and being a person of honor. And I'm going to show you the difference, the distinction. It's important. We have to know it. Honor is a precious thing. And so the virtuous woman needs to be honored. Now, of course, we know the New Testament instructs husbands to give honor to their wives. And it says it like this, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And then Peter wrote and said that men need to have right relationship with their wives so that their prayers are not hindered. And so here's the thing I want you to remember. Honor starts at home. Honor starts at home. Honor starts in your own family. And so honor is something not only that you show, but honor is something that you live. We need to be people who live honorably, who not only express honor, you need to know what that is, but also we live honor. And so honor is more than just an expression of gratitude or praise or thanksgiving. Now, let me show you. Jesus talked about this. Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And let me show you the distinction here. And I think you'll get it. What does it mean to honor? It means to esteem them highly, to consider them as being valuable and precious. John chapter 5. Jesus said this, and many of you may remember this, but we'll go to verse 44. Jesus is having a conversation with the religious leaders and the Jews who wanted to kill him because they thought he was breaking the Sabbath. And he said this in verse 44. How can you believe who receive honor one from another and do not seek the honor that comes only from God? How can you believe who receive honor one from another but don't seek the honor that only comes from God? Now the word honor here is a little different than the word honor that we find in Ephesians chapter 6. It's the Greek word doxa. And the word doxa means praise or dignity. And these men had a habit of praising each other. And they lived in such a way that they would get praise and honor from others. You understand what I'm talking about? People haven't changed. Human nature hasn't changed in 6,000 years. People still do the same thing today. They want you to praise them or honor them. Are you with me? Follow me closely because I'm going to say some things that may offend you. But that's not my intent. But we have a cultural habit in many cultures of honoring men. We fall over backwards to give honor to the pastor, give honor to, you know how we do it. Give an honor to God who's ahead of my life. You know, give an honor to pastor, and we try to every minister this, that, and the other, deacon so-and-so. There's some churches, they spend 20, 30 minutes every service praising each other. I remember years ago, I had a man get in my face. He was furious with me because I would not honor him with a title. And he said, my name is Title So-and-so. And he looked like he wanted to swing. And I just looked at him and smiled. Because now I knew what his hot button was. He was seeking honor from men. That was so important to him. But in his life and lifestyle, he was not seeking the honor that really matters. The honor that comes from God. And so he would rather get in my face and almost cuss me out and hit me because I wouldn't give him praise. And that revealed his character. He sought honor, but he was not an honorable man. Are you following me? There's a distinction between the two. And Jesus said, why do you seek honor from each other instead of seeking the honor that only comes from God? Now listen. The principle of honor will make your life rich, will help you to understand how God views things and people. But if you don't understand the principle of honor, you can live your life in such a way that you find yourself in dishonor. And that's not where you want to be. Turn with me to the Old Testament, 1 Samuel. And let me show you this principle. 1 Samuel chapter 2. We all know the story about Samuel when he was a little boy, how Hannah had prayed and God blessed her with a son, Samuel, who became one of Israel's first judges. He actually stood in the office of the prophet. And the Bible says about Samuel that his character was such that God didn't let one of his words fall to the ground. Now, what does that mean in our practical modern-day vernacular? It simply means if Samuel uttered something out of his mouth and said, this is what the Lord is saying, it always came to pass. Samuel never missed it when it came to prophecy. If Samuel said it, it came to pass. God didn't let one thing he said fall to the ground. Now, Samuel was mentored by a man named Eli. And Eli was responsible for nurturing not only Samuel, but also his sons who happened to be priests of the Lord. He was in the lineage of Aaron. His family performed the priestly duties. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 2, and I want to tell you something about dishonor. Notice verse 22. Now Eli was very old, and he had heard everything his sons did to all Israel, how they lay with women who assembled at the door of the entrance of the tabernacle of meeting. In other words, Samuel's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were dishonorable men. They had the title. They had the anointing. But they did not have the character. They were causing Israel to sin. So there were two areas where they missed it. Number one, they were committing sexual sin with women who came to worship. Number two, They took the very best of the offerings for themselves, and many times by force. In other words, they thought that their position, listen to me carefully, entitled them to gratify their flesh. Because I have this position that men honor me for, then I can use this position to gratify my sexual desire with women that I'm not married to, and to take things that belong to God and use them for myself. Because after all, I've got the title. I told you, human nature hasn't changed in over 6,000 years. Now, let me show you what happened because of their attitude, their thinking, and their lifestyle. Let's go over to verse 24. Here's the conversation that Eli had with his sons. No, my sons, for it's not good, not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not pay attention to the voice of their father, because the Lord desired to kill him. Now, that's a strange expression. What does that simply mean? That simply means that God was going to judge them, because they were bringing disrepute not only upon themselves and their own family, but on God, because they stood in the office of priest. Are you with me? This is a tough one, I know, but you'll get through it. Now, let's go down to verse 27. Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering that I've commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, and make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people? Therefore the Lord God of Israel says that indeed your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now, says the Lord, be it far from me. For those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days are coming that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your father's house, and you will see an enemy in your dwelling." Now, here's in modern English what the man of God told Eli. "Because you honored your sons more than you honor me, I'm going to bring judgment upon your family. And part of that judgment was, I'm going to cut off your arm, which represents your strength." And he said how he would do it. "There would not be an old man in your house forever." English translation: every male heir in your family from now on will die before their time. None of your male offspring will grow to be an old man. So you can see how judgment swept through the whole family because of dishonor. Now, we have a record that Eli went to his sons and said, "Hey, what I'm hearing is not good. You shouldn't do this." But you know what? He didn't set them down. He didn't remove them from that place. He could have and should have, but he let it continue. And so judgment came upon the house of Eli. Hophni and Phinehas were both slain in one day. And when Eli was 98 years old, he heard the news that there was a battle with the Philistines and his sons were dead. When he heard the news, he fell off his perch backwards and broke his neck. Listen, that's not how God wants you to go out. Are you with me? Now, there's one phrase that I want to share with you and teach you what this phrase means. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 31, Let's go back to verse 30. Second half of that verse. Now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now let's zero in on one word, that word despise. You know, we think of when you despise something that you really strongly dislike it, you hate it. Are you with me? There are certain things in life that I do not like. You know, one of them is cheese on a sandwich. I'm sorry, that's just me. Now, I know where that comes from. I had a bad experience in the third grade. I lived in California. We lived in Sacramento. We went on a field trip, and our teacher's name, surprisingly, was Mrs. Brown. And Mrs. Brown left the milk, remember those little half pints of milk? Left the milk on the bus while we went on the field trip, and the bus sat in the hot sun, and the milk soured. So we got back on that bus and had to go home, and all I smelled all day was sour milk. And so from that time forward, and I used to love cheese. I used to eat blue cheese right out of the jar by the fistful. My mother said, I can't believe you don't like cheese. You used to eat it with both hands. Well, that one field trip and that sour milk did it for me. So I always associated cheese with sour milk smell. And so to this day, you know, now I eat pizza and different things, but if there's a lot of cheese on it, I'm out. You know, I despise cheese. I stay away from cheese. If it's got cheese on it, I don't eat it. I don't have to. I don't want to. I despise cheese on a sandwich. I get my tacos without cheese. You know, if there's a fine chicken with a nice cheese sauce on it, I just tell them, put the sauce on the side. I don't like it. I don't want it. In 2000, I was in Italy, and in Genoa, and I was with a group of people, and I decided I was going to go to an Italian butcher shop just to check out the local fare, and, you know. And so I broke away from the group, and I went over to this little butcher shop, and I opened the door, and there's a little Italian guy, older fellow, waiting to greet me. And when I opened the door, the smell was so strong, the cheese, it almost knocked me down. And the fella came up, and in broken English, can I help? Can I help you? And I'm like, I couldn't even breathe. I'm like, no, I'm good. And I got out of there. Cheese. I despise cheese. Well, when you read that in the scripture, you think it means like my experience with cheese. It doesn't. The word despise that's used here is to treat something as common. It doesn't mean that you hate something, but it's just a common thing. And all too often, people treat the things of God like they're common. I might go to church today. I might go to the movies today. I might go to the mall today. Common things. Listen, the things of God are not common. So be careful how you relate to the things of God. Because God said, those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me, another translation says, those who lightly esteem me. Let me put it like this. There's a law of reciprocity. If you don't honor the things of God, put them in their proper place, and value them as precious, God will leave you alone. Are you with me? Now, I don't know about you, but I can't afford to live this life without God, without His presence, without His benefits. Are you with me? And so Hophni and Phinehas treated the things of God as something common. Here's another thing that I can use to get what I want. And unfortunately, they were judged, gone in one day. Are you with me? Thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. For a lot of people that I know would be gone. You with me? Because they're doing the same thing that Hophni and Phinehas did thousands of years ago. They used their position and their title to gratify their flesh, whether it be sex or whether it be something else. I have news for you. People like that we don't need in the ministry. Go do something else. God didn't call you to preach. Amen? Or you better repent. That means change. Because God's viewpoint hasn't changed at all. Amen? I remember that one of the first things Valerie said to me when she visited our church many, many years ago. My late wife Peggy and I were there. And she said to me, she said, "I ain't looking to be no preacher's girlfriend." And I thought, whoa, where'd that come from? And I looked at her. I said, "Well, you come to the right place. We don't do that here. Are you with me?" Thank God. I had no idea that Peggy would go on to be with the Lord and that she would be my wife one day. But I'm so happy she is. Are you with me? Honor. There's a difference between giving somebody praise and living a life of honor. When you honor godly things, God will honor you and see you as valuable and precious. And He'll afford to you everything that you will ever need in life because He will respond in kind to you. Are you with me? Now, let's go a little further. I want to show you something. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. We're just going to touch on a couple verses, and then we're going to wrap it up. Romans chapter 12, we're talking about honor. Notice verses 9 and 10. "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another." So here, Paul is writing to the church at Rome and letting them know that honor should be a lifestyle. Honor is not just something you do a couple times a year with certain people. Honor is the way you live. And so if I live a life of honor, then I will see you as valuable and precious to God and to me. And so living a life of honor means that you value others and that you prefer them above yourself. That means you put your neighbor first. Are you with me? That means you put your spouse first. That means you put your children first. That means you honor others and you're not just thinking about yourself. You're not just greedy little me. What about me? What am I going to get out of this? You need to start thinking about other people. Are you with me? Honor is a way of life. "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference one to another." Now let's turn to one last passage. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Did you learn anything this morning? 1 Peter chapter 2. The principle of honor. Let me stop just for a minute. Hey, for those of you watching by television, you've been watching Faith is a Lifestyle, a ministry of Mount Gerizim Christian Center. We are located at 9th and Cherry. We'd invite you to visit with us anytime. Our Sunday morning service is at 10:30 a.m. We have parking available in the Burton Funeral Home parking lot. And we have a Bible study on Wednesday night we call Word Power. We would love to have you worship with us. Check us out on the World Wide Web at mgcconline.org. Until next week, keep putting your faith in God's Word. All right. That helps us edit our program a little bit better. Amen. I was watching us on TV yesterday, and I mean, I was right in the middle of some good stuff, and it went, boop. No, that was it. So, I don't know what happened, but hey, at least we're on. I can't wait to start uploading our DVDs. That's a great thing. Hey, by the way, if you like a message really well, let me know. We can get you the DVD as well. That's one advantage to recording on video. All right. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to close with this one. 1 Peter chapter 2. Notice verse 17. Talking about honor. "Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king." So here you can see again that we are instructed to live a life of honor. not just give praise to people at certain times, but live a life of honor. And verse 17, again, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. We should honor everybody. Now listen to me carefully. We need to have enough confidence, enough love, and we do, it's in us, to honor everyone. That does not mean that you believe them or you trust them. But you can honor them. What does that mean? You see them as being valuable and precious. There are people that I love that I consider to be valuable and precious, but I don't believe what they believe. You with me? What they believe is deadly. What they believe will send you to hell. What they believe will get you killed. But I love them. Now, if you don't esteem people as valuable and precious, then you begin to divide and find yourself in different camps. And if you're not careful, you'll end up fighting against people that God has sent to you so that you can share the love of God with them. If you're not careful, you'll find yourself alienating yourself from people that God has sent to you so you can get them delivered and get them set free. You with me? See, I don't hate anybody, but there are many people I don't agree with and will not accept what they consider to be valuable in their lives. You know, and one of the popular expressions in today's culture is, you know, well, that's my truth. You heard that expression before? That's my truth. Well, you can keep it. You know, Jesus prayed a prayer for his disciples and for us, the church. He said, Lord, keep them. Father, keep them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so you can believe whatever you want to believe. I'm not going to believe it, but I will honor you. You with me? Now, of all the groups that we relate to, others, the brethren, those in Christ, we need to love them because we're part of the same family. Whether you're Word of Faith, whether you're Roman Catholic, whether you are Baptist, whether you're Methodist, whether you're Pentecostal Holiness, if you believe on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're part of the family of God. And we need to love the brethren. Whether we see eye to eye on every point of doctrine or not, we still need to love them. Think about it. If you're married, you don't agree with your spouse all the time. But you still love them. You with me? And unless I told you, you wouldn't know we had any disagreements because we're that close. And so, don't let disagreements stop you from loving. You have a commandment to love. So we need to honor everybody, love the brethren, fear God, and honor the king. Now, we don't have a king, but we have presidents, we have elected officials. We need to honor them. We need to pray for them. And we may not disagree with them, but we better pray for them. Are you with me? I remember years ago a pastor came to me and we had a different president, and he was just going off. I can't believe the president this time here. Blah, 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 blah. He was mad. And I'm thinking, ooh. I mean, it shocked me. I said, I didn't know all this stuff was inside that guy. And so, you know, he's looking at me for affirmation. You know, misery loves company. It always does. Looking at me to agree with him. And I said, well, you may not agree with President, whoever it was at the time. I said, but we do have a commandment to pray for him. And he looked at me, and he forgot he was supposed to pray for the president. He looked at me, he says, and he was honest. You know you're right. Yeah? Yeah? Because the president has professed his faith in Jesus Christ. You may not agree with him. You know, maybe he's doing some of that dumb stuff because you're not praying for him. So, honor the king. But out of all of those groups we relate to, there's only one that we need to pray of. One that we need to fear. And that's God. See. Now Hophni and Phinehas had no fear of God. But they found out the hard way that their life of dishonor was not pleasing. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? Is it being afraid of God, terrified of God? No, not at all. I'm not afraid of God any more than I was afraid of my father when he was alive. I love my father. I knew he had my best interest at heart. I wasn't afraid of my grandfather. Now, I reverenced him. If he said something, I got it done. Are you with me? I may not agree with it, but I'm in his house. So I got two choices. Do what Grandpa said or get. And I wasn't getting. So I did what Grandpa said. It was his house. Well, guess what? This is God's kingdom. You don't have any place else to go. So you need to do what he says. But the fear of the Lord can be expressed like this. The fear of the Lord is an earthly dread of doing anything that would displease my Heavenly Father. I have such respect for Him, I don't want to do anything that would displease Him. That's honor. You with me? And when you live your life that way, in the fear of the Lord, God will honor you and bless you and make your life rich. So you never want to find yourself in a position of dishonor. Now, I know it's challenging at times to consider people as valuable and precious and to love them. You have a commandment to do that. Now remember, love doesn't mean trust. You can love people and not trust them. Okay? I got people I love all the time. I don't trust them. Pastor Bill, I want to... Nope. I had a man years ago who wanted to take a trip to Niagara Falls and wanted to use my credit card. Think about it. Well, they need a credit card to rent a car and I only have cash. I'm going to pay for it. I said, no. It's my credit card. Something happens, I'm on the hook. I love you, but I don't trust you, brother. See, he had already crashed up some cars and left people hanging, you know. I said, no. Love you, but I don't trust you. You know, but my good friend, Reverend Charles, if he said, Pastor Bill, I need to borrow your American Express, I'll bring it to you. Because I trust him. You with me? I've got many people that I know that well, and I trust them. That I know they have my best interest at heart. Amen? And knowing Minister Heidelberg, he'd never ask me for that.